You're listening to Freestyle on CBC Radio 1. You can also tune in to us on the internet at cbc.ca or on satellite at Sirius 137.
It has been a big, big week for movies. Oscar nominations were announced. The Screen Actors Guild Awards were held on Sunday. And, of course, Sundance Film Festival wrapped up as well, too.
As I've been saying, I got to go see Eve and the Fire Horse last night. It was fantastic. So let's talk a lot more about Sundance. It's the festival for American independent films. A lot of the pictures from new talent are on the fast track to get into the theaters later this year.
Yeah, but sometimes films that do really well in Sundance, they don't always get that big theatrical release in Canada. So really, if you're outside of Toronto or Montreal or Vancouver or some of the larger urban centers, you're really not going to get a chance to see some of these films.
Unless you get them on DVD. So with that in mind, we've invited Karsten Knox to join us via the Halifax CBC studios. Karsten is a film writer with The Coast, which is a Halifax alternative weekly. So Karsten, we actually spoke with the Canadian Jury Prize winner Julia Kwan about her film, Eve and the Fire Horse. But you've got a couple of other films from Sundance that you want to highlight. What are those?
Yeah, that's right. Junebug and Hustle and Flow.
So Sundance really is a chance for people to display their talents, often for the first time. Are these movies done by first-time directors?
Well, the director of Junebug's name is Phil Morrison, and Craig Brewer is the director of Hustle and Flow. And they actually have made films before these ones, but nothing to the scope of these features. I think these might as well be their debut projects. They were both nominated for the Grand Jury Prize for these films, and that is the big one at Sundance.
Okay, so let's start with Junebug. What's it about?
Well, it's one of those smaller films that could easily slip under the radar. Embeth Davids plays Madeline, who's a Chicago art dealer in her late 30s. And her husband, George, is a 20-something Southerner, and he's played by Alessandro Nivola. And in the opening segment, they sort of have a whirlwind love-at-first-sight romance and get married. Madeline's specialty is outsider art, and so she's pursuing the work of an eccentric North Carolina painter, and that gives the couple a chance to go down and meet the in-laws. But George hasn't been back in 3 years, and his family has never met his new, very sophisticated bride.
So this sort of sounds like it has the potential to fall into the romantic comedy category. Does it go that way?
In a way, but it's much more observational than that. The movie isn't really told from Madeline's perspective. The audience just gets to stand back and observe the interactions between her and the family and the stuff that's going on between the family, and of course George has been gone so long. There's a lot of humor, but it's not judgmental. The filmmakers, they aren't making fun of the rural folk. George's parents and his brother Johnny and his sister-in-law Ashley, they live a simpler life, but I think their values and their spirituality, they're strong, and Madeline's a careerist. Her character's the one I think that learns the most over the course of the film, and she's very honest, and she's gorgeous to look at, and she's very naive, and she sort of gets shocked out of her complacency with George's family, and she just has a lot to learn about people.
Okay, you were a bit taken with her. You're gorgeous. You're clearly,
yes.
Clearly like the girl.
No,
I'm going to rent it.
So, how about other performances worth mentioning?
Amy Adams is particularly wonderful. She on Tuesday, she was nominated for Best Supporting Actress for this role in Junebug.
Oh, yeah.
And at the Oscars. And in Sundance, she won the Special Jury Prize. Now, the film is almost worth seeing just for her. Ashley, the sister-in-law, who's 9 months pregnant, is one of those people, she's just full of joy. And even though her husband, Johnny, who's George's brother, is sullen and nasty to her, she just never lets it get her down. She's just positive all the way through. And, of course, the baby, when it comes, plays a big part in the way the film comes together at the end. But the thing about the film, I think the thing that makes it really special is just how real it feels and how quiet it is. There is some incidental music. The amazing scene in the middle where George sings at a church dinner, and you can just see on Madeline's face that she had no idea this voice could come out of her husband. But for the most part, the film is full of silence and these wonderful scenes of stillness where we just watch empty rooms for long moments and where nothing happens, or scenes where you don't see any of the actors for a little while. Suddenly they walk right into the shot. It's really lovely, and it gives you sort of a sense of the environment of this, or North Carolina, the heat and the stillness of the place.
Okay, I'm going to believe you on that, but I have to say, this is a new thing that I'm seeing in movies lately, and my attitude is always, oh, we forgot to cut that, but it works here, does it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think it forces us to have a little bit of patience, you know? I think we're used to the quick cutting and the editing that run the film along, and I think this it forces you to think about what's going on.
So what's the film tell us about life or family life, for that matter?
Well, I think like real life or family life, I don't think that the story offers a lot of instant resolutions or easy answers, but it gives you plenty of things to think about. It may sound simplistic, but I bet that it'll make you think about your family and how important they are to you, even when they drive you nuts.
Okay, so tell us about Hustle and Flow. That's the second film that you've got. What's it about?
Well, it's a story of a low-rent pimp in Memphis who decides he wants to change his life through music. He decides he's gotten off track, and he feels like he deserves a shot at all the marbles, just like anyone else. Now, the movie did win at Sundance in 2005 the Audience Award.
Now, Terrence Howard's been getting a lot of buzz around this performance, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's really good in the part. Now, critics have been bending over backwards to find adjectives to describe his performance as DJ, the pimp and drug dealer, and they use words like magnetic and hypnotic and these kind of things. He was nominated for a Best Actor in a drama for this part at the Golden Globes, but lost to Philip Seymour Hoffman in Capote. And now he's got the nod at the Oscars for Best Actor. But he's up against Hoffman again and Heath Ledger, so I don't really think he has much of a hope of winning, but he's deserving of the recognition for sure.
And it's just an honor to be nominated, right?
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah, that's right.
What else would we have seen him in?
Well, you know what? He had what they call in professional sports a career year. He was in Crash, which is up for Best Film at the Oscars. He was in Four Brothers, and he was also in the 50 Cent movie, Get Rich or Die Tryin', where he played Fitty's crazy jailhouse buddy. It's interesting, actually, to consider the 50 Cent movie in comparison with Hustle and Flow.
Why is that?
Well, besides both featuring Terrence Howard, they both are about how the lead character has to lift himself out of poverty and crime through music. The thing about the 50 Cent movie, you get the ambition and you get the drama around why he wants to be a rapper, but you never really get why he loves the music. Now, there's a wonderful scene early on in Hustle and Flow where DJ is inspired by a singer in a church, and you really see how this guy, this pimp, who isn't really very likable, can be redeemed through this dream that he has. And then the whole middle part of the movie is about how he sets up his home studio and develops his creative process, and then finally tries to get his music in the hands of someone who can make a difference for him, who's a rapper who was from his hometown that made it big, played by Ludacris. It's really fun to watch. Get Rich or Die Tryin' may have been a fictionalized version of the truth, but I think Hustle and Flow, even though it's just fiction, it feels more real.
You know, there's a lot of controversy about Get Rich or Die Tryin' because of the violence in it and just how nasty it was. How about this one, Hustle and Flow? Is it similar?
Well, there's definitely some scenes of violence, and there's a lot of harsh language, a lot of harsh language. DJ lives with three of his girls, and you definitely see, you know, the conflict there. But it's sort of a reimagining of the American dream, the alternatives basically having nothing or having everything. And it makes for desperate characters. It's as much about self-respect, I think, as it is about survival. And what the director, Craig Brewer, I think what he's going for here is an update of the blaxploitation genre. And those were the films in the 70s like Shaft and Foxy Brown, films about American inner-city black culture. And they teemed with these same kind of issues. You can tell the lineage, actually, from the presence of Isaac Hayes in Hustle and Flow. He plays a supporting role. Now, those films have a huge cross-cultural fan base now. And I'm sure people are responding to Hustle and Flow in the same way, because it's authentic, it's dramatic, it's funny, and it's very intense in places. It has a few interesting things to say as well about the culture of violence and rap music, particularly in the ambiguous ending. But it's all anchored by Terrence Howard's performance, which I think if I could choose an adjective, I would say it's amazing.
It is amazing, eh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, listen, thanks so much, and we'll let you get back to your DVD player.
Oh, well, thanks. Thank you. It's been great to be here.
That's Karsten Knox in Halifax talking about a couple of new movies now out on DVD. They're in the stores now, Junebug and Hustle and Flow.
We forgot to ask him about snack recommendations.